Today's scripture is from Luke 24, 13 to 35. I think that's correct. Yeah, nice. And it goes, "That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking in the village of..." Ooh, this is a tough one. They didn't prep me for this word. Emmaus? Thank you. Someone's helped me out. 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed those things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." Then some women from our group and of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they said they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it hard to believe that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay with us, stay the night with us, since it is getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it, and then broke it, and then gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were back on their way to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord is really risen. He appeared to Peter." This is the word of the Lord. Oh, are we doing one more verse? No? Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Ben. Well, this is an exciting morning. I got to baptize my, I don't need this one. I'm like double miking it. I got to baptize my daughter, and now I get to share. So I love working with kids. That's what I get to do here at Yorkson, all the way from ages 2 to up to high school. I have 6 kids and I love them, and they would also know the other thing that I love doing is I love traveling. I enjoy everything about it. I know some people this is making your heart race a little bit, but I love the planning. I love the airports, trains, exploring new areas, having all sorts of different experiences, trying out new food. It's definitely one of my passions. And generally, I pride myself on the fact that I have a keen sense of direction. But a few years ago, I took my kids to Europe, and I had this one moment. We were in Nîmes, France. Our train arrived late in the afternoon. It was a Sunday afternoon, and it was starting to get a little dim out. And so I was like, "Hey guys, we gotta go find our Airbnb." So I love to study the maps too before. So I thought I was going in the right direction. And we wandering down these cobblestone streets and through these little mazes. If you've ever been to Europe, there's all these little mazes of streets sometimes. And I get to where I think we're supposed to be. And then I begin to doubt. There's just doors everywhere, but no addresses. And I'm like, what if I've gotten us lost? What if we have to sleep outside? And I'm starting to worry. And if you've ever experienced doubt can be uncomfortable. Doubt can be crippling. And so as I started to doubt, I was like, uh-oh, we better start to wander. And so the kids and I grab our bags and we're wandering around. The sun is starting to set. I'm starting to panic a little bit now. My phone, I haven't picked up a SIM card for France yet, so it's not working. And eventually, all the shops are closed because being a Sunday afternoon, it's like a ghost town. So finally, we get back to the same little opening square, and I'm like, okay, pause. We're looking around, and finally we stop and look up, and we're saying, they meet you at your home there, and when you see an Airbnb, and I see our host waving down at us from the window, finally. Relief. I share this story with you today because, as we just heard in our scripture reading, today we're going to look at a journey, one from doubt to hope. And in this story, we have two travelers who also started to wander as doubt set in. So I'm just going to reread. This story is packed with so much, and it's actually quite an amazing story. So we're going to walk through it little bit by little bit and unpack it. So I'm just going to reread just verses 13 to 16 for you. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had taken place. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. So a few weeks ago, we celebrated Easter and just focusing on Jesus as the risen one. So today, our scripture actually brings us back to that same very morning. So on Friday, Jesus was crucified. Saturday would have been the Sabbath. So everyone would have just kind of stayed put in Jerusalem, not doing much, taking a day of rest. And now Sunday morning, it's earlier that morning, we heard some women had gotten up and they'd gone to the tomb to prepare Jesus's body. And they had found out that he wasn't there. He was risen. And in their excitement, the women had run back to tell everyone the good news. However, most didn't believe, and they just thought the women were sharing nonsense. So at some point now in our story, these two, they decide after hearing this news that they're going to set out on their journey. They're heading back home. They're going back to Emmaus. And there's some debate on who these two were, but we know one was Cleopas, as mentioned in verse 18. The other may have been another disciple, his wife, some other companion. But we do know that they were followers of Jesus. And we know that they had expectations of who Jesus was. They had expectations of him setting up a kingdom and having authority here on earth, being a political ruler. Like many, they expected him to relieve them from the physical and earthly sufferings that they were facing. So I have a picture here. The road would have looked much like this. A well-worn road, kind of weaving its way through the countryside. Emmaus was only about 7 miles, 11 kilometers. It'd be kind of like, if to put in perspective, wandering down Glover Road, kind of starting in Langley City and just walking to Fort Langley. So a bit of a jaunt, but not too far. This was a main road. It connected the coastal cities, where all the ports were, to Jerusalem. So it would have been a well-traveled road. So here we have the two. They're walking along. They're discussing all that had happened in Jerusalem. They were probably asking questions. Why did he have to die? Was there even a future for our nation? Can you hear the hope? The sadness? They're starting to doubt. They don't understand. They heard the women's testimony, but still they left. Instead of waiting and staying in Jerusalem to find out what had really happened to Jesus, they just wanted to move on, to get away from their pain and their disappointment. How often do we find ourselves in the same position? When hope is lost, we just want to move on. It's hard to stay in a place that's uncomfortable. I want to take a moment and look at doubt, as it is often what comes when we face loss and fear and big life change. or uncertainty over our future. But know that is actually, our faith actually grows in the dark places. As believers, it's hard to admit our doubt. But doubt is different than unbelief. Doubt is asking questions. Doubt is the wrestling through our uncertainties. The two on the road, they didn't understand that Jesus offered the greatest hope possible. Instead, they just began to doubt what they did know of Jesus. So here in verse 15, we have Jesus, he shows up and he walks beside them. Just all of a sudden, you know, there'd be travelers on the road, so someone just kind of walks up. He comes alongside them and he meets them on their journey, where they're at. He comes to where they are. But we see in verse 16 that they're kept from recognizing him. Why didn't Jesus just reveal himself? That would have been a lot easier, wouldn't it? I wonder if it was for a greater plan. A chance to slow down, to call them to remember. A chance to not only walk with them, but to talk with them and to sit with them. And to allow them to journey from a place of doubt to a living hope. So Jesus asked them, what are they discussing? Even though he would have been well aware of what they were talking about, but here he invites them to share what they are wrestling with. So I'm just going to reread verses 17 to 21 to you. And he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still, looking sad. One of them named Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things that have happened here in these days? And he said to them, what things? They're probably totally shocked, jaws dropping open. And they said to him, the things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. So this would have been quite the scene. They probably would have just stopped and like looked at Jesus like, are you kidding me? You don't know the biggest news that there is in all of Jerusalem? Yet Jesus still invites them to share in their loss. They reveal there that who they believed Jesus was. They believed he was a prophet. They believed he was powerful in word and deed. And they believed him and knew that he was crucified. But here's the lost hope. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. They expected, like many, that Jesus would rescue their nation from the physical enemies. They were expecting a political Messiah who would rule with a winning military, go in and conquer and free them. And what is more, they say, it is the third day since this all took place. This is significant because Jesus earlier in his own words had said, and it's going to be found in Mark 9 and Matthew 17, Jesus says this, he warned them beforehand, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life. Yet on the third day, they're still off. They wandered off on the road. They're not just heading home from Jerusalem. They had let doubt in who Jesus was set in. And even further, they knew these testimonies. They'd heard from the women that morning. They had heard, but also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found exactly as the woman had said. But him they did not see. They knew these testimonies. Here Luke introduces, they missed this hope. It was like that moment. They were amazed, but then. It's like knowing that truth, but then doubting, right? Knowing in that it's moving from that head to the heart knowledge sometimes for us, right? At this moment, Jesus has to speak up and he jumps in And he calls them in verse 25. He says, and he said to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter his glory?" And as we heard, he goes on to share with them through the prophets. And he says, he has to interrupt them. Foolishness is actually, it's this slow to understand. They're slow to understand. He says, slow to believe in their heart. They would have known these promises, these prophecies of Jesus coming, knowing that the Messiah had to suffer. Yet they weren't understanding. So he takes them back and he points them back to the Word of God, and he walks them through the plan since the beginning. He would have shared prophecies through Isaiah, like Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel." And Isaiah 53:7, it continues on. "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before his shears. He did not open his mouth." So these prophecies by the prophet Isaiah came hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. So the Israelites, the people of God, would have known that this was part of God's plan. Let's jump back in at verse 28. "And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he was going further. But they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began to give it to them." So we have this beautiful moment where they're enjoying, they're liking what they're hearing. They are enthralled by all that Jesus is reminding them of. And they get to their home and they now invite Jesus to come in. And we have the beautiful revelation that they come into the home, they sit to recline, to share a meal together. And Jesus breaks the bread, he gives thanks, and he gives it to them. This is something he would have done with his closest disciples in an upper room only a few days earlier, celebrating Passover. And it's in this moment when he does this, then this is what we often do when we take communion together, that their eyes are opened. And almost at the same time, he disappears. Because his work there was done, their eyes of their heart are opened. As Jesus had said, "Believe in me and forgiveness of sins will be offered." Now they truly know. They have a new hope and a new life. They move from a place of doubt to a place of hope. Just as we witnessed the girls earlier testifying in their baptisms, there is a new hope and there's new life in Christ. It changes the journey that we're on. This is really a powerful story. The heart of God is expressed in love. All of us, we're all lost and blind in our own ways because of the sin and brokenness in the world. But Jesus showed up, and he wants to reveal himself to us. He comes alongside each one of us on the journey that we are on. And he wants to move us on a journey of hope. Will we invite him into our home? Will we sit with him? We're on this journey, and usually things do happen that make us question or become confused with certain outcomes. We all come with assumptions. We all have desires of how we want things to go. But when things do not go as we had planned or expected, it is those very assumptions that can keep us from really seeing and knowing Jesus. And I'm sure that most of us can testify that we've definitely had twists and turns and curves in our roads and bumps and things that come along unexpected. That's how it goes. And we all need an eye-opening experience. Just as Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Timothy Keller puts it this way: Jesus didn't come to tell us the answers to the questions of life. He came to be the answer. So do you find yourself walking downcast along the road, doubting that God is who he says he is? I find it that it's my human tendency. It's easier to focus in on what I don't understand or to focus on the broken dreams, the disappointments, and all the while missing sometimes the hope that is hidden in that truth. Sometimes I just need to pause, to stay still, to wait with anticipation for all that God will reveal. Do we miss seeing the moments when Jesus is actually right there beside us? Tim Mackey says, we can do all the things and remain totally blind to who Jesus is. Just as Jesus shows up on the road to Emmaus and walks with them, even in their doubt, Jesus walking with us, even if we don't recognize his presence. There's a walking with Jesus. There's a talking with Jesus, a sitting in the presence of Jesus that all take place on this journey and move from moving from a place of doubt and hopelessness to a place of hope and joy. And we saw that. He walked with them. He listened to them, even though he knew exactly what they were wrestling with. He encouraged them to share their hearts. He talked with them. He reminded them of the truth by teaching them the word, going back patiently, walking through with them. And then it was in the sitting, when they invited him into their home, they sat, that he revealed himself. So we can miss that last part, the sitting still, the waiting. It's really easy to keep going and doing things and trying to make things happen in our own lives. But it's in the waiting that God invites us to lament. It's right, he wants us to share our hearts. The cries. Ask him the questions. God, I don't understand why. Why is this happening? Why? Who are you? Are you even there? He wants to hear our hearts' cries, and he longs to listen. And even though he already knows, he just wants us to come at him with honesty. Laura Wilfer, she's the author and co-founder of Risen Motherhood. I think she puts it well. She said, these are all books in the Bible. She says, we can look at Job, we can look at Lamentations, we can look at the Psalms, we can look at so many heroes of faith who at different times had questions, who faced unbelief, yet God kept them and they continued in their doubts to lean towards God, to lean and doubt in a way that continued to keep them attached to the vine and seeking Jesus in all of it. Faith is not an easy road. There are times that we struggle to have faith, even those of us who have been walking the journey for a long time. And like all of Jesus' closest followers, after the moment that he was crucified, they weren't celebrating like we were 2 weeks ago at first. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. The others at this moment are probably huddled in an upper room somewhere, fearing for their lives at what might happen, grieving, asking questions, wrestling through this, not understanding that God was at work, the most powerful work he had ever planned, the plan of redemption. It is in the dark moments that we can feel alone, like God has abandoned us. But I know that there are many times that as I've questioned the journey that I am on, that it makes it even harder. When we live in a culture that is so highly individualized, we try to be strong, to handle it on our own, to do the things that we can do, to busy our lives with good things even. But it is here that we can miss the simple act of just walking with him, talking with him, laying down the burdens of our heart and sitting with him, even in our pain. This is where we can miss the beauty of what he offers. When we remember the promises of his word, it will stir in our hearts. Just as we saw when Jesus left, they said they had seen that it had stirred in their hearts. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? As we sit in his word, let it stir in our hearts. Brother Lawrence was a lay brother who served in a monastery in Paris in the 1600s, and in his very famous book, The Practice of the Presence of God, he wrote, it is necessary to always be aware of God's presence by talking with him, throughout the day. To think that you must abandon conversation with him in order to deal with the world is erroneous. Instead, we nourish our souls by seeing God in his exaltation. We will derive a great joy at being his. Knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus are two different things. We can do things and gain all the knowledge, but in sitting with him, he will reveal himself to us. When hope is lost and we begin to doubt, we do not need to try and find our way on our own. We can cry out to the Lord and he will show us the way. If the path you've been on is crooked, he will make it straight. If you are headed in the wrong direction, he will turn you around. If you have come to a standstill, he will get you moving. If you are going around in circles, he will correct your course and cause you to arrive at your destination. The simple act of giving your life to him will immediately put you on the correct path and aim you in the right direction. There's no path that we can head down that will satisfy our soul, except for the one that he leads us on. And I'll be honest, often I find myself in a season of doubt. Life isn't easy. There's lots of things. There's things in our family that I wrestle with, decisions in parenting, business decisions, all different things. Things I don't understand why. Will there ever be resolve? Will things ever be in that sweet spot again? Have I made the right choices? John Bloom puts it so well. To some extent, I'm wired to doubt. This is partly because, like you, I'm a human being, possessing a reasonable yet fallible capacity for rational, logical analysis, living in a world full of competing truth claims, uncertainty, error, and deception, and therefore nearly constantly needing to discern what's true and what's not. This is not easy. But I always come back to the fact that when I lay down at night and I know that God is good, I know that he is with me. I can call out to him. I can cry out to him. I can sit with him. And in this, he will fill me and give me the strength and the hope that I need. As we conclude, we look at verse 33. And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. Immediately, they got up and they traveled the road again. They probably ran back down it. They had good news to share. And they wanted to get back to the community to celebrate with and to share it with. Even in dark, traveling that road at night probably wouldn't have been safe. And there's beauty in community. When we come together, when you're surrounded by family and friends, and we are so excited to have so many here today as we baptized the girls and we got to celebrate together in community. So Yorkson, today, we're all on a journey, and times of doubt come, wondering if we can get by with the high cost of living, questioning if those family dynamics will change. Maybe it's self-doubt in who we are. Are we doing the right thing? I ask, am I a good mom? Today, I hope that you know that no matter where you are, Jesus is walking with you, and he invites you to talk to him. Ask your questions. Share your doubts. Let him know your frustrations. God's the one who created us. He gave us emotions. He understands. He understands all of our emotions, which I'm thankful for. But it is in this inviting him into our home and sitting with him that he reveals himself to us. As we remember his word, maybe today you need to invite him in for the first time, or it's been a long time, and we just need to sit with him. He promises to never leave us or forsake us, and he will walk with us and carry us and help us to know the journey of hope. And right before I pray, recently we took our boys to the Toby Mac concert, And it was just such a great night of worship. And Toby Mack's a Christian artist. He's been around for a long time. But a few years back, he actually lost his son. And that really broke him. And so he knows the depth of grieving. And I love these words here that I feel that at some point we can all relate to in his song Faithfully. And it says, "But when my world broke into pieces, you were there faithfully. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you made a way for me. I may never be the same man or woman, but I am one who still believes. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you were there faithfully." And that is who he is. He is faithfully there. He met these two on the road. He showed up where they were in their hurt, in their doubt, in their grieving. And he will do the same for us. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would reveal yourself to each one of us. We thank you that you just come and you meet us where we're at. It is your heart's desire to move us from that place of doubt to a place of certainty, from a place of being lost to a place of being found, from restlessness to contentment, from anxiousness to peace, from hopelessness to hope. And we thank you that you are a God who would move mountains and you come down from heaven to earth to be with us, to show us that great love. May you go with us. Amen.